Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi there, this is Martina Navratilova.
Hi, I'm Mats Wilander.
Hi, I'm Andy Murray, and you're listening to The Tennis Podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. And hot off the heels of the second semi-final between Simona Halep and Karolina Pliskova. In fact, hot off the heels of both, but fresh from the commentary booth of the second one, Chris Bradnam. You were with Chris Evert again, the green team. It was about to get very political there. The dream team. What are your immediate impressions of that match, Chris?
Just a fantastic match following on from a wonderful first semi-final. The crowd were given a treat today. I think Pliskova surprised everybody. She says she's been surprising herself the whole fortnight, having never gone beyond the second round here. But the way she took the match on, the way she built herself into the match was just amazing. And she had a sniff in that final set. If she'd taken a few more drive volleys out the air, if she'd won a few more key points, I know it always comes down to that, but I'm not so sure that Halep would have really finished it off. Having said that, Halep today, her attitude, there are just a couple of tiny little hiccups with the looks to Darren Cahill and so on, but she was exemplary. And I was a little surprised about how she took Pliskova on. We didn't get any drop shots. We didn't get any really short, slow ball angles. I mean, they almost happened by accident because that's the only shot she could have played. Terrific effort from Simona Halep.
Her court coverage, you and Chrissy were talking about it a lot in commentary, is extraordinary, isn't it? There were so many points there that she won just by sheer monumental effort and not giving up.
Yeah, I said to Chrissy early on in the commentary, is she the best mover we've had in the women's game since Steffi Graf? And she mentioned a few other names, Serena and so on, but towards the end of the match, she made the comment, Chrissy, that I have never seen anybody retrieve as well as Simona Halep has retrieved in this match ever. And I think that's a huge accolade. It really is a huge accolade. And that, of course, and I'm sorry to spin forwards to the final, Catherine, I'm sure you might be getting there, but that's going to be the problem for Ostapenko. Huge winner count, huge unforced errors count, but she needs to spend all day tomorrow practicing against a wall, expecting the ball back every single time, which is exactly what a wall does. But she's feisty, doesn't give a damn about anything. Could be a great final.
Yeah, well, you've given the game away there. Incredible scenes as Yelena Ostapenko on her 20th birthday, and she looks an awful lot younger than 20 to me. She looks about 12 years old. Won through to her first ever Grand Slam final. This is a player that's never even won a WTA title. She did it the hard way. She beat Tomaya Bashinsky in three sets. She is hard as nails, Yelena Ostapenko, isn't she?
She really is. Granite, I think she's made of. And wouldn't it be, I mean, if she believes in fate and irony, if she happens to win her first Grand Slam title, which, as you say, will be a first ever title, so a debut titleist in the French Open, she was born on Guga's birthday, if she does it. That's the link between Guga and Ostapenko. But again, Chrissy mentioned, I've got to keep going back to Chrissy, but everything she's achieved on the clay, why not? She kept saying throughout the match, even though Pliskova was doing better and better and better, does she really believe that she can beat Simona Halep on a clay court? And I think that's the huge question on Saturday. Does Ostapenko believe she can beat Simona Halep? And in her first Grand Slam final, I think it would be an enormous achievement. Enormous.
Do you believe she can do it?
I've been question-marking every women's match for over a year. So my gut tells me no, But the way the tennis has gone with the women's game, let me put it this way. If Simona Halep behaves herself, like Darren Cahill has demanded, I think Halep will win the French Open. I think it's as simple as that.
Just finally, Chris, before I throw to a little bit of Boris Becker previewing the men's semi-finals tomorrow, very good interview with him too. Just a reflection on the day as a whole and what a glorious day it was for women's tennis. Two truly sensational semi-finals. A lot of people in tennis are very quick to give the women's game a bashing. You know, there only have to be a sprinkling of empty seats and everyone goes, oh, empty seats for women's semis, a shocking state of affairs. Today silenced everything. I think it was just a glorious day.
I think it was a really timely shot in the arm for women's tennis, I really do. But you have to straight away say consistency. These players have got to back it up. That's been the big problem for so many players. We obviously now see it with Novak Djokovic too. Different for him because he's dominated for so long. So maybe the burnout, if you want to call it that, that we're seeing from him is a little bit more understandable. But Ostapenko now, irrespective of what happens on Saturday, she's now got to back it up. She's gone to a different level. We don't want her disappearing for 6 months, terrified about whoever she's playing, because she's now going to become the hunted, whether she wins the final or not. So we need to see that in the women's game. We need to see the players that are breaking through to these major finals and winning them or making finals consistently doing that week in, week out.
Parallels to sort of Dominic Thiem in the men's game. He's been somebody that we've been hoping to do that. And that, Chris, thank you very much for your comments on today's matches, is my segue into the thoughts of a certain Mr. Boris Becker, because we've been chatting to him to preview the men's semi-finals tomorrow. And here is what he had to say, first of all, on Andy Murray.
Well, I think it was pretty evident that once the tournament started that nobody really knew the form Andy was in. I don't think he knew himself. He did struggle all year long, and I was one of the ones that raised a bit of criticism for Ivan Lendl to be so far away between Australian Open and Paris, and you would need a coaching crisis, not when you're winning, and I felt Ivan could have made a difference. Well, he came in time, and I think he made a difference. I'm a big admirer of the whole team, so... Yeah, really, round by round, he got better, he got stronger, he played with more confidence. And you know, already in the round of 16, maybe even at the end of Del Potro, he looked like the Andy Murray of last year. Round of 16 was strong. Khachanov was a very convincing victory. And then, ultimately, against Nishikori, I mean, he had a difficult start, but then as the match went on, he got better and better. It almost seems like he's unchaining himself of everything that was happening from the beginning of the year to now. And, you know, he's a champion. Champions remember how to win.
And his opponent, Stan Wawrinka, says himself that he feels he's playing the best clay court tennis of his life, which, considering he won the title here 2 years ago, is a formidable thought, isn't it?
I think both players are hitting their peak. I think it's the right time for the match to happen. I think Stan is right. He hasn't dropped a set. He is, I'd say, apart from Rafa Nadal, the most experienced player once you get to that stage of the tournament, and he should be full of confidence and believe he can win.
They obviously met in the semi-final here last year. Stan thinks that was Murray's best ever clay court performance. Does he just need to do exactly what he did this time last year?
Well, a lot of things have changed in 12 months, and you always have to evolve, you always have to improve. I believe Andy played his best ever clay court tennis last year, but as I said, he's improving by the day, and you know, he's number one for a reason. So it'll could be a real classic between two titans.
And in the other semi-final, Rafael Nadal against Dominic Thiem. Nadal, the hot favourite here, only 22 games dropped so far. Is there any risk that he could be underripe coming into this semi?
I don't think so. I think it's plays to his advantage of saving a bit of energy. You know, he had a long season already. He's 31 years young. He's had his number of injuries. So for him to go swiftly through the tournament is not going to hurt him at all. I think the contrast, he'll be fresh and eager and motivated to go out and play against your Austrian team.
Dominic Thiem, who of course got a sensational victory over Djokovic in the quarterfinals. What did you make of that?
I think it was the coming out party of Dominic Thiem. I really felt that his time was coming, And he decided it's happening now. You know, it's no longer the future. I think he's very much a man of the present. If you look the race to London, he's already number three in the world from results this year. We have early June. So in a way, there was no clear-cut favorite against Djokovic. And you know, he played like a man on the move.
And in terms of the matchup, they obviously met in Rome a couple of weeks ago. Team the only person to have beaten Nadal on clay this season. Does he need to do the same again this time?
I think Rome is different than Paris for Rafael Nadal. I mean, they've played in Barcelona in the final. Rafa won in straight sets. They played in Madrid in the final. There was a close two-setter. They played in Rome. Dominic beat him. So interesting matchup. I think if there's one player in the draw that Rafael Nadal respects more than anybody, I think it's Dominic Thiem.
Are you expecting a Nadal victory, though?
Ultimately, I do. I think it's written in the stars that he's going to go for his La Decima. He looked strong. He looked better than ever, really. He's healthy. And once that's true, that's the best place for him to play tennis.
We can't wait. Boris, great to get your thoughts.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.